Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket. Whether you're a player or whether you're a coach, we are here to help you out a little bit, help you improve your game or perhaps improve the game of others. And who are we? Well, my name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things. I'm here every week. And helping me to help you is one of the normal two team. It's the head of cricket performance at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I thought there was going to be a delay and we'd forgotten who or what I was for a second there, but you recovered extremely quickly. But
No, it's all in there. Sometimes I just have to shuffle through the Rolodex a little bit to get there, but it's all in there. It's all in there somewhere.
We're there. Good stuff.
Mark Garraway, of course, is usually on the show with us. He's away this week, but don't worry, he'll be back next week and we will soldier on without him. And you're having a bit of rain there, Lavers, so we can have a good long conversation today.
Absolutely. It's supposed to be our MCC game today, which, apart from having a few good cricketers in, a few different people and a different form of cricket, as well as playing against a range of ages, because obviously we spend a lot of our time playing against other schoolboys, so playing against a few more experienced players is always a good challenge. The other big miss is it is one hell of a feed usually, so we do get looked after very well on MCC. We don't get looked after very well every day, but MCC day in particular is a really good day for a lunch and a tea. So disappointing, but the rain has come in and there's not much we can do about it.
A really good opportunity to learn in a slightly different environment, isn't it? And any time you can do that is a good thing, as long as you sort of go in with the right frame of mind of saying, oh, you know, what can I learn from this today? Then you can't really go far wrong no matter what happens.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And playing against adult cricketers and people who have got different physical skills and different levels of experiences is a fantastic opportunity for them. And that's why when we pass them back to club cricket next week, actually, that is again a continued ongoing process of learning, and we try and stay in contact and ask lots of questions of the guys while they're away there, and hopefully, as you said, every day they're learning something new and they're learning something they can apply to their own game or they can apply to some game in the future.
Let's answer some questions now, questions that have been sent in by listeners to the show or maybe readers to the Pitch Vision website over at pitchvision.com. And how this works is we answer a couple of questions that have been sent in from all the ones that have been sent in, and we then pick a prize, a winner of an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com from those two questions. And the first person to send in a question this week is Nathan, and Nathan's sending quite a long question, so I'll try and summarize it a bit, but we've got all the background detail, which is what we like a lot of background detail, because the more the better as far as we're concerned. Nathan says, I'm concerned about my ability against super fast left arm in swing bowling and those who move the ball about on slow and low pitches. I'm 6'1". I take a middle stump guard for pace bowling and have a crab-like stance for left arm over the wicket. I have a trigger movement that moves my back foot sideways from middle stump and my front foot across and forward. And my back lift, I push the bat with the left hand, the right hand at the bottom like a fulcrum, and the bottom hand has all four fingers on it. So I think we're getting a picture here. His head position, he says, is not still. It comes up and falls over to off stump, and this means I'm having problems getting my feet stuck and getting out LBW from full balls a lot of the time. My head and hips fall forward as well. I play clips off my legs well and drive well when outside off stump, but I feel I'm playing around the ball a lot when it's straight. I'd really appreciate any advice on my trigger movement, my hand position, my back lift and footwork to make sure I'm agile and I'm in the right position to move my feet to play 360 degree shots. Great question. What do we think, Lavers?
Yeah, fantastic detail. It's probably taken him no more than 5 minutes to put together all that information, but the information he's got there is actually really, really useful, and there are going to be some parts of it which aren't that relevant to the issues he's having, but there are going to be other parts in it. And he's spent a little bit of time putting together a bit of information, and he obviously knows his game very well. He obviously thinks about his game very well, And in doing that, he's put himself in a position where we can give a reasonably educated answer. And sometimes when people are a little bit vague on information, we kind of have to give a blanket answer, don't we? But this is really specific. So fantastic effort from him there. I would suggest it's going to come down to a few things, and you've said that your head's on the move while you're waiting for the ball, so you're triggering across, and subsequently I would imagine that by the time the ball is being released or as the ball's travelling towards you, your head is still probably moving to the offside. Now, as your head's moving to the offside, your hands are inevitably going to go with it because your hands will sit under your shoulders, etc., which is all moving offside. So even though your feet have remained on middle stumpish, there or thereabouts, your head and your hands are going off stump and beyond. Subsequently, you're going to find that your hands and bat are going to go across the line of the ball, something you've kind of alluded to there. Now, if they're doing that, you're probably going to find it very difficult to play an on drive and play straight back shots when the ball is on middle stump, because your hands are going to have to come at an angle across the ball. And you've said there you're quite good at the clip, but you also find you get out LBW. And it's not a surprise, because if you're playing a shot that is partially across the ball, even the most coordinated in the world are going to find that sooner or later they're going to miss it. So what we've got to do is find a way that you can present a full face of the bat and play a little bit straighter, a little bit more often. So rather than the ball coming into middle and leg stump, middle stump, wherever it is, and you being committed to playing that stroke slightly across the ball, you've actually got an opportunity to play full face down the ground or whip it into the leg side should you choose to. So that would, for me, come down to your position post-trigger. So before your trigger position, your trigger movement, sorry, what does your position look like? How do you feel? Are you balanced, etc.? That's all very well, but it's not as important as the position you're in after your trigger movement. So after your trigger movement, can you get into a position where you're still? Can you get into a position where your head is above your feet, so you're balanced and you're then capable of moving in all directions, whether it be straight, offside, leg side, etc.? If you could achieve that, then you'll find that you're much better balanced position to hit straight, and you're probably much more capable of dealing with that ball on middle and leg and leg stump. The main difference is going to come that you're used to probably moving quite late and you're on the move when the ball is being when the ball's traveling towards you, and it might mean that we've actually got to try and complete that trigger movement first, or it might be that we've actually got to try and make sure that our trigger is solely with our feet and our head isn't part of the movement. So our feet are going and our head's not moving acrosswards. Now, again, the feeling that initially can be quite tricky. You're doing something different. You're going to find yourself in different positions. But ultimately, what we want to do is try and get into a position where we are balanced and where we can keep our hands close to our body, where we can hit down the ground and our heads above our feet, which allows us to move in any direction. If you can get that right, you should find that ball becoming less of a problem. On the other side of things, you've got to be aware that that shot where you fall into cover and drive through the covers, which probably seems fairly easy at the moment because you're already falling in that direction slightly, we don't really want to be taking too much away from that. Inevitably, we're probably going to have a little bit less momentum in that direction because we're not falling early towards the offside. So we're maybe going to have to work a little bit harder on falling to the offside. We might even have to leave a couple more balls because we're not getting quite as far across to the offside as we do previously. However, the benefit of that is you're not going to find yourself getting out bowled or LBW as many times as you would do to that ball coming back into you. So it's going to be a slight trade-off. We want to minimise what we lose through the offside, but we really want to maximise what we gain on the stumps and through the leg side.
Yeah, I've a tendency to agree with you on pretty much all of that, Lavers. I'd say there's probably two ways of going about it. The way that you said, which is getting yourself in that slightly better balanced position when you're waiting to receive the ball, after the trigger move, being a little bit more open, perhaps is the word, allowing the room for the bat to come through. That's definitely the number one way of doing it. The other way that I've seen, I've certainly worked with batsmen who do this, and perhaps these guys are slightly older, so they find it a little bit harder to make those technical changes, but they do have that slight problem of falling over towards the offside. But the way that they do it is they adapt their method slightly rather than trying to sort of change their technique in any way at all. And the most effective person I've seen do this, he His trigger move is almost gets him outside the line of off stump, and he almost exposes his leg stump to the bowler. Sometimes he does expose his leg stump to the bowler. That's how far across he goes, and then he often falls away even more. And yet he has an excellent cover drive, a pretty serviceable off drive, and he can work the ball pretty much all the way around from mid on all the way through. So it just goes to show you sometimes you can do it if you can sort of get into a position where you feel comfortable and you're making contact with the ball at the right moment. And the way that I found that that works is that rather than trying to do anything particularly technical with players who are in that kind of a situation, what I do is I give them a target area and I say, look, let's try and hit the ball through mid on and let's have a go at it, right? And we'll see how it goes. And if you're in nets, if you're just in nets with ordinary bowlers, obviously the bowlers are not going to service you with middle to middle and leg stump half volleys all the time. They're going to try and bowl normally. But you can still get in the habit of getting into position to try and hit the ball through mid on almost no matter what's happening and experiment with it. And maybe use a little bit of throwdowns, maybe use a little bit of sidearm, maybe use a little bit of bowling machine. But always keep that target area in mind rather than thinking of what your feet's doing, what your head's doing, and a thing along those lines. So if you're a bit more, if your technique, I guess, is a little bit more locked down, or you haven't got a lot of time to make technical changes, sometimes you can find that just having a single session of saying, right, let's try and hit the ball through mid on here. Right, we're not going to go through square leg. Square leg's the danger area. We're not going to hit the ball through square leg. We're just going to try and hit the ball through mid wicket, off across to mid on. The offside is as normal. You keep on doing that and see how you go. And some people actually find it's easier than they thought it was. It's just that they're in the habit of, oh, it's on my legs. I'm just going to try and flick it through square leg or maybe down to fine leg for one. And actually, when they try and hit the ball through mid wicket or mid on, they find it a bit easier than they thought it was. And sometimes that, even though it still feels slightly ungainly for those guys, it still gives them a serviceable option in that area. So that might be something worth thinking about as well.
Yeah, I think habits are, physical habits are tricky to change, but you've got to start with those mental habits, haven't they, of just allowing something to happen because you've always done it. If you can break that mental mindset of, right, I'm going to do something different, then you move on to breaking it physically. You find you're on your way, aren't you? But it takes a bit of commitment to that. It takes a bit of willingness to accept, right, today I'm probably not going to get everything right. I'm going to make a few mistakes. And that's something that a lot of people are a bit scared of, aren't they? Yeah. You go into a session and knowing that you're going to do something different and knowing that you're not going to be 100% for every delivery you face is difficult. So having that willingness to make a few mistakes and do something different that is going to give you a longer term benefit is a really valuable attitude to take towards it.
Absolutely, yeah. That fear of doing something wrong is something which is you really have to sort of get over and say to yourself, okay, well, I might mess up for a bit. And in fact, it happened last night in a session. I was working with a player, and he tried something and he played and missed at the ball on the bowling machine. And someone from the other net who was bowling in the other net sort of gave a sarcastic, "Oh, great shot, mate." And I had to sort of, you know, turn around and say, "Well, hang on a minute. We're working hard in here. He's allowed to make mistakes. You know, this is the place that you make your mistakes." Because if you make your mistakes in practice, then, you know, you're getting them out of the way for playing the games. And, okay, that's an oversimplification of what happens. But I had to sort of intervene there and say, you know, we've got to go into training with the right attitude. We're not trying to prove how amazing we already are when we come to nets. We're trying to improve. And that's a theme that I've been running throughout the whole sort of pre-season and during the season when we've been practicing. So you had to have a little finger wag at someone yesterday.
It needs to be done sometimes, doesn't it? It needs to be done. The other thing that's quite interesting is he sounds like he's got quite a spread grip on the bat, where he's quite low and quite high with bottom hand and top hand, yeah. And that can lead to the bottom hand coming through a little bit sooner. And if we're trying to play like a little bit straighter, perhaps that can be a little bit trickier. And it's not something that he'll necessarily have to change. But something that he needs to be aware of is that it's going to be tricky, and there's going to be a period that's difficult. It's going to be hard to hit that straight shot through mid-on initially. And your balance and your grip aren't making it as easy as you could do. However, they'll probably help you in other ways. So it's just me being committed to working hard. And given that you've spent as much time as you have thinking about this, writing to us with as much detail as you have done, I'm sure the time factor is not going to be a worry for you. So go and have a crack at a few of the things we've said, and give yourself 2, 3, 4 weeks, and really try and commit to them and see where you are then.
Yeah, don't stress about it too much. You know, there's not many people who are fantastically good against super fast left arm in swingers. That's pretty good bowling.
Yeah, but they'll sort me out, no problem.
Yeah. Our next question's from Rafi. I think that's how you pronounce it. Raf, sorry if it's not. Anyway, he says, I got dropped by our school coach for reverse sweeping one of our main spinners in the nets. And then 2 years later, I came back and beat our school's cricket team under the same coach. So it's better to stick to your natural skills, nurture yourself, polish your skills, and if you can't play straight, don't sacrifice your pulls and square cuts. What do you think? What an emotion-laden question. I had to throw this one in. More of an opinion than a question, but what do you think? What a fantastic story. What can we gain from it? What can we learn from it?
It kind of follows on from what we said in the previous question, of that you're not going to pick things up straight away. And if you stifle people from doing things that are outside of their comfort zone and outside of their box, then they're never really going to improve, are they? So if he's gone out and played a reverse sweep first ball in a match, having not practiced it in training, then you can be pretty sure he's going to come in for a few words from the coach. But the fact he's playing it in the nets and he's playing it in practice and he's looking to add something new to his game, I would encourage, and I would think is a good use of his time. Obviously, it may be that there are other more prominent problems that he should be working on, but we don't know that or not. So the fact that someone's willing to do something different in nets, I think, is encouraging. I think that's someone who's willing to challenge their own game, get out of their comfort zone and do something different. I completely agree with him as well, that you don't want to sacrifice your strengths. Yes, everyone's going to be slightly different. You can look at some people and they're strong down the ground, but they're not so strong at hitting square. Equally, some people are great at the cuts, the pulls, the sweep, etc., and they don't have the same power down the ground. Other people are very good at touch cricket, and other people really bludgeon their way through the ball. You've got to find a way for you to get from 0 to 100 or from 0 to whatever you need to get to. And everyone's going to have a different route towards it. So just because a coach has got a particular way he likes to do it, or he's done it himself in the past, that shouldn't mean that's the way you've got to do it yourself. Yes, you've got to adapt at times and you've got to find ways to score. And if you've got more scoring options around the park rather than just being particularly strong in one or two areas, that's going to make your life a little bit easier. And that comes again down to trying things that you're maybe not sort of quite so comfortable with. It might be as simple as the coach feels that you need to improve your basic game of hitting up and down the ground more. Hasn't necessarily communicated that in the best way to you, but I'd be thinking the more scoring options I've got, the better. But I really need to master a few so I can have a game plan that I can work on and I can rely on, because if I'm 50-50 at all my options, I'm probably not going to get very far. So I need to have a few options that are real bankers, and hopefully they're going to suit most conditions and most bowlers that I'm going to play against.
I'm going to say that this is we don't know the full story, obviously, so it's hard to say, but this looks like an accidentally brilliant piece of coaching. Because what the coach has done there is motivated someone to go and do something and become a better cricketer from off the back of it. So if we take this story as written, which is, you know, the first time someone ever tried to play a reverse sweep, they got immediately dropped and were never picked again. Then that person was motivated to go away, prove the coach wrong, and become a better cricketer. I mean, that's the whole point of coaching, isn't it? You know, to improve someone's cricket skills. So well done for that accidental brilliant piece of coaching, I'd say. But going back to your point, Lavers, I think what it comes back to is not any particular shot. Oh, you know, you should always, you know, play the drives first, or, you know, you should never play a reverse sweep because there's never a good time to play a reverse. You know, all these things are dogmatic ways of looking at the game. But what you could say, what is clear to me, is that Are you being mindful, right? Are you looking at the situation and mindfully saying, this is something that could help my game. This is something that could improve me. This is a shot which is going to be useful. Or is it, oh, well, I'm a bit bored of playing drives now. I'm just going to play a reverse sweep because why not? You know, it's my time nearly up in the nits anyway. I'm just going to slog a few. That's not being mindful. Even if you say afterwards, well, I was practicing my 20-20 shots. That's not a mindful piece of cricket, that you've sort of given in then to your boredom and gone, well, I'll just do whatever now. It doesn't matter anyway. But if you walk out of that and go, well, actually, I feel like a reverse sweep is a useful shot because, you know, we're playing a 20-20 game next week and I know we're playing against a spinner who is turning the ball into me and he usually leaves a gap on that side, so I'm going to try and put the ball into that gap. Well, that's a mindful piece of cricket. You know, you're practicing a very specific thing there. So that's what it comes back to me on. If you are saying to yourself, is this a mindful piece of cricket or is this a mindless piece of cricket? If it's a mindful piece of cricket, carry on. And that's how I would always challenge players whenever they did something which was slightly unusual. What is your reasoning for doing that? Is that something that you can explain? Or is that something where you look up to the sky and try and work out an excuse for it because actually you were just a little bit fed up and you wanted to do something different for a change? There's nothing wrong with doing something different now and again, but if you want to improve, you need to be mindful of what you're doing. So that's my piece of advice for that, be mindful of what you're doing, and you can't go far wrong no matter what the coach says.
And I would imagine there, David, that if you can include your coach in that process, and you can say in advance, this is yeah. where I want to head, this is what I want to add in, then you bring him onto your team, and rather than him saying don't do this, don't do that, he's actually saying, well, I can see what you're trying to work on. We've spoken about it already. You've had a crack at it there. It's not gone how we wanted it to go. But given that it's something we're trying to work on, maybe you need to try this, this, and this. Or maybe we should take it away from the net situation and we should go, let's execute it with some tennis balls or some throwdowns first, and then we come back into the net situation. And suddenly you get this team approach to coaching rather than the individual back and forth of maybe one person pushing one way and the other pulling another way.
Yeah, and when it comes down to it, you know, what as a coach, you know, how much can you do? If someone is absolutely determined to play reverse sweeps, you could tell him not to till he's blue in the face, but he's going to keep doing it, isn't he? He's got to work it out for himself, or she's got to work it out for herself. You can't just tell somebody what to do. It doesn't work. You know, you bristle, don't you? You say to yourself, well, you might think that actually, mate, but I know what the real answer is, even if in reality the coach knew it all along. And it's the coach's job to, you know, help someone learn something for themselves, not to try and tell them exactly what to do, whether they like it or not and whether they understand it or not. Because you're not going to get very far by taking that approach, are you?
No, absolutely not. I think... hopefully follow well. What was it you called it at the start, an accidental piece of coaching?
Yeah.
But it could, you never know, we could be working with a genius here. He might walk around wherever he is with his cricketers and he goes, oh, I accidentally done another thing. And maybe he's in complete control of what he's doing and he likes to play the fool who keeps annoying people or pushing people's buttons and it makes them go away and work really hard. And if it is, well played.
Yeah, brilliant. Either way, whether a fantastic reading of someone's personality or a total accident, it got us where we wanted to be. So, you know, you can't be far wrong there, can you? And that is just about all we've got time for on the show this week. Before we leave, there's just one more thing that we need to do, and that's to decide on the winner of this week's competition. The online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com is up for grabs. And the two people who could win it this week are Nathan's question about his batting against left-arm in-swingers and Raphael's question about reverse sweeping and getting some revenge. Which one did you prefer this week, Lavis?
Well, both really interesting topics, actually, and the detail we've got across both of them and the conversation that it creates is really interesting, and I think both of should be praised for throwing in their thoughts, but the amount of information, the attention to detail, and the commitment to his own improvement that Nathan's showing there through the question he's put in, and the amount of information he services with there is fantastic. So it's going to go to Nathan this week.
Congratulations to you, Nathan. So, Lavers, if someone wanted to get in touch with the show, send in their question and have their opportunity to win the prize, what's the best way to get in touch?
They can drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can also find us on social media. You can contact us through the Pitch Vision messaging system on the Pitch Vision website and app. Or if you want to use other social media, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, or Twitter @pitchvisionacad. You can listen to the show every week if you want to do that. It's free, comes out every Friday, and it's easy to do. Do a search for Pitch Vision Academy in your favourite podcast app. Tap or click on the subscribe button and you're away. And if you want to get any of the old shows, see the show notes, stream the show from the web, anything like that, you can do that by going to pitchvision.com/academy and clicking on the podcast link. You get all the details there. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, David.